بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، إن شاء الله we'll cover this chapter today. Last week we started the chapter باب الإيثار والمواساة, the chapter which discusses إيثار, spending on others, giving preference to others over ourselves. And muasat, muasat means always taking into consideration the state of others. Now this person is upset, this person is sad, this person is in need. So just looking at signs, from signs that this person is in need, I need to try and help them. So they don't even have to tell me they are in need, but just by picking up signs, can maybe this person is struggling financially, maybe this person is struggling mentally, maybe this person is struggling in any other way, I need to see, let's see if I can do anything to help them. So this is muwasat, something which has been encouraged. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would look at his sahaba, and from he would understand from someone's face, you know, this person is going through something, this person seems a bit sad today, a bit upset today, they're going through some financial situation, see if we can help them in any way, shape or form. Last week we recited the two ayahs, so today inshallah we'll just quickly go through the ahadith. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إني مجهود. So this hadith I talked about it last week already. سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه روايت فرماتے کہ ایک شخص آیا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم کے پاس اور کہا کہ يا رسول الله میں حاجت مند ہوں مجھے کچھ ضرورت ہے. He said, Ya Rasul, a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I am struggling. Inni majhoodun, I am struggling. فَأَرْسَلَ إِلَىٰ بَعْضِ نِسَائِهِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent a messenger to some of his wives and asking them, do you have anything at home to feed this person with? فَقَالَتْ All of them replied, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ مَا عِنْدِي إِلَّا مَاءٌ So the first one replied, I swear by the one who has sent you with the truth, I have nothing at home except water. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَ إِلَىٰ أُخْرَى Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a messenger to another person's house. فَقَالَتْ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ She also gave the same reply. That I swear by Allah, there's nothing at home except for water. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke paas ek shakhs aaya, ضرورت مند. اور Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam se puchhne gaya, Ya Rasulullah, mujhe kuch ضرورت hai. Matlab, khaya piya kuch nahi. تو کچھ کھانے پینے کو اگر مل جائے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے اپنے بیویوں کے پاس ایک سفیر بھیجا کہ جا کے پوچھ لو اس نے آ کے واپس بتایا کہ یا رسول اللہ آپ کی بیوی بتا رہی ہے رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ کہ گھر پہ کوئی چیز نہیں ہے سوائے پانی کے اور پھر بتایا کہ دوسرے کے پاس چلے جاؤ دوسری بیوی کے گھر سے وہی جواب کہ گھر میں کچھ بھی نہیں ہے سوائے پانی تیسری بیوی چوتھی بیوی حتیٰ کہ ہر ایک نے یہ جواب دیا کہ گھر میں سوائے پانی کے الا اور کچھ نہیں ہے لا والذی بعثک بالحق ما عندی الا ما ان So we see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam someone's coming to him they're in need first of all he said can I help them So he's asking his family members, is there anything to feed? So think about it. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has nothing at home except for water, then what is he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself going to be eating? But that's a different matter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's concern is to try and feed this person. So when he sees that there's nobody else, none of his homes have any food, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, مَنْ يُضِيفُ هَذَا اللَّيْلَةِ Who will host this person tonight? Aaj, kon is shakhs ki mehmandari karega? فقال رجل من الأنصار, a person said from the Ansar, أنا يا رسول الله, I will do it, O Messenger of Allah. And the Sahaba and the scholars say that this was Sayyidina Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the wife of Ummu Sulaym radiallahu anha. And he was the famous, they're famous, both of them, Abu Talha and Ummu Sulaym. Ummu Sulaym's first husband passed away. Abu Talha said, I want to get married to you. She said, you can do on the condition that you become Muslim. So her mahar was his Islam. Her dowry was his Islam. So he became Muslim, and subhanAllah, this family and their child was Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. Well, Anas bin Malik was already, his mom was Ummu Sulaym, his stepfather was Abu Talha. But that family was very beloved to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many incidents we see from them. This is one of them. Abu Talha, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I will take him. So, فَانْطَلَقَ بِهِ إِلَىٰ رَحْلِهِ So he takes this person to his family, to his house, فَقَالَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ And he says to his wife, أَكْرِمِي ضَيْفَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ That be hospitable to the guest of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. In one narration of fi riwayatin, قَالَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ He says to his wife, هَلْ عِنْدَكِ شَيْءٌ Do you have anything at home? قَالَتْ لَا She said, no. إِلَّا قُوتَ صِبْيَانِ Except for some food which is for our children. Meaning there's no food for us, we only have some food for our children. قَالَ عَلِّلِيهِمْ بِشَيْءٍ Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu anhu said, somehow put them to sleep. Console them, calm them, just put them to sleep. Scholars mention here, however, that these children had already been fed. This is one point I should have mentioned. These children had already been fed. If the children are hungry and starving, they're children. They're not baligh. They're not in the state to say, you don't need to feed me, feed somebody else. They are muhtaj. It's wajib to feed your children before you feed others. Because they are your ayal, they are your dependents. So the scholars mentioned that these children had already been fed before, but children, they always want to be fed a bit more. So she had kept some food aside, that if the children need some food, we can just give them the food. But they had already been fed. They were not starving. But they, the husband and wife, had no food. But the children were wanting a little bit of food. So he said, put them to sleep. Console them, put them to sleep. وَإِذَا أَرَادُوا الْعَشَاءَ فَنَوِّمِيهِمْ Whenever they wish to have their supper, then just put them to sleep. وَإِذَا دَخَلَ ضَيْفُنَا فَطْفِئِ السِّرَاجَ And when our guest enters, then extinguish the light, the candle or the lantern which is burning. وَأَرِيهِ أَنَا نَأْكُلْ وَأَرِيهِ أَنَّا نَأْكُلْ And show our guest that we are eating. فَقَعَدُوا وَأَكَلَ الضَّيْفُ وَبَاتَ طَاوِيَيْنَ So I mentioned this story in detail last week, isn't it? That Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu anhu is sitting and his wife is bringing the food. As she brings the food, she knocks out the light. So when she knocks out the light, it's darkness. So the guest doesn't know. The food is presented. Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu anhu himself eats. The guest eats. Sayyidina Abu Talha goes hungry and his wife goes hungry. فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحَ When next morning, غَدَى عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ They came to Rasulullah, Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لَقَدْ عَجَبَ اللَّهُ مِنْ صَنِيعِكُمَا بِضَيْفِكُمَا اللَّيْلَى That Allah Ta'ala was very pleased with what you two did with your guest at night time. So before even informing Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم already found out that Allah, if you translate it literally, Allah Ta'ala was amazed. But the scholars say amazement is not a quality befitting for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, because Allah Ta'ala, nothing astonishes Him, right? But it's pleasing. Some scholars have mentioned it means that the angels who surround Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, they were amazed. Subhanallah. Look at how these people, they sacrificed their own haq and they fed somebody else. And they did it in such a way that the guests didn't even realize. So this is the ithar, highest level. So we say mehman nawazi. That not only mehman nawazi doesn't mean entertaining the guest doesn't just mean, or hospitality of the guest doesn't just mean that you feed them. It also means that you make them feel at home. You don't put any pressure on them. You don't make them feel that, why did this person turn up? you know, with a scowling face and, you know, dark features, and just serving them. Sometimes we do this. Mehman Nawazi means, you know, making the person feel comfortable, welcome. The person comes happily. Oh, these, they treated me so amazingly. The person is so happy. And this is the sunnah. And they're doing it to a level where they are starving. They are feeding their guest, and they don't even want their guest to know at all what they are going through in order to feed them. So this is obviously the highest level of ithar and giving preference to others. And we also see how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would have done it. When he saw that his wives didn't have anything, now the next thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have done is borrowed something from someone. But this is why the scholars say, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the level of his sahaba, that if I am not in a position to be able to feed them, one of my companions can inshallah take this reward. And they can also, so it's like a tarbiyah, it's like a training. This obviously, this person would have come into Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's majlis. And in front of everyone, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have sent a messenger to his respective homes. And when these messengers would have returned that, Ya Rasulullah, there's nothing at home, everybody would have heard this. So now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is passing on the opportunity to somebody else. Does anybody else want to take this opportunity? So subhanAllah, the sahaba jumped on it. Even though they had nothing themselves, they jumped on it. That if there's anything, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only has water at home, at least we've got some food at home that we can feed our guests with. It also shows the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وعنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طعام الاثنين كاف الثلاثة وطعام الثلاثة كاف الأربعة متفق عليه. وفي رواية لمسلم عن جابر رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال طعام الواحد يكفي الاثنين وطعام الاثنين يكفي الأربعة وطعام الأربعة يكفي الثمانية. Again, سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated, two people's food, the food of two people is sufficient for three. And the food of three people is sufficient for four. And in one narration, the food of one person is sufficient for two. And the food of two people is sufficient for four. And the food of four people is sufficient for eight. So this is the hadith, or two hadith. So the ulama mentioned, what does this mean? First point is, the scholars say, the food that a person, you know, requires to totally become full to the top, this is sufficient for two people. Meaning two people can eat sufficient food. Where, you know, sometimes I say, I don't know, I get a doner kebab or naan. Now maybe I can finish it myself, but I'll be very full. Okay? But now if I sit and say, chalo, I'll share it with my wife. Okay? So I have half, she has half. So now I'm full, I'll be fine. I can, you know, I can continue. But obviously I'm not full to the level where I can't move. But in Islam, that's not even recommended, or that's not even good to fill yourself to that level where you can't move. So this is what scholars mentioned, that the food that you have on your plate, realistically, that amount of food that you need for your daily activities and movement and everything else is actually very little. It's all about training our body. I will ask myself this question all the time. To train my body, you know, I don't want to eat so much, don't want to sleep so much. I was reading about Qari Siddiq Ahmad Bandwi rahmatullahi alayhi. I mentioned an incident about him in Jummah. He used to sleep 2 hours a day. And I'm shocked. Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi used to sleep 2 hours a day. And they say, we've been doing it for years and years and years. And he said, in my early student days, I used to have these huge migraines because I slept so less. He goes, but now, with my age, I still have slight headaches, but I'm used to it now. And I think, subhanAllah, these superhuman, you know, but they train their bodies. Allah Ta'ala has given us such capacity of training our systems, our bodies. Of course, doctors will say, don't do that. And nobody's saying we need to do it to that level. But the point is that they understood they could train their bodies to that way. Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi alayhi would sleep only 2 hours a day. Sometimes he'd sleep, he wouldn't sleep at all at night time. And then throughout the day, he'd just be teaching, and he would just doze off in class like this while he's teaching. And he'd doze off for about 10 minutes. And then he'd wake up and say, Alhamdulillah, I had such a good sleep. My sleep is done. So like, what, you know, this is how they train their system. Okay, every second is precious. You know, food, time of food, the time that it's going to take for me to eat that food is precious. How many times can I take subhanAllah? How many scholars we read about that he used to eat his roti, he used to make his roti, he used to make his food. And he said, the time it takes for me to make the atta into roti, I could read so many subhanallahs, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. So what he would do is, he would drink water, and he would, with spoon, he would have the plain wheat and plain barley, and he would have water just like that. See, the time it takes for me to make this into dough and bread, I could do so much dhikr. So I don't have time for this. Other scholars, they're doing the mutala and somebody just feeding them from the side. So Hazrat Abdul Hayy al-Luknawi, rahmatullahi alayhi. So their whole family, subhanAllah, great ulama. He passed away when he was only 41 years old, early 40s. And he wrote so many books. Like they say in the Indian subcontinent, two scholars who were, you know, great in the field of hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullahi alayhi, and Mawlana Abdul Hayy al-Luknawi. But Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, Allah Ta'ala gave him a life till about, I think, 63, 64. In his 60s, he passed away. Mawlana Abdul Hayy al-Luknawi passed away when he was only 41, 42 years old. But he wrote so many books in so many fields, all in Arabic. The Arabs say, Sheikh Abdul Hayy al-Luknawi is from India. They're shocked. He's from Lucknow in India. When he was studying in his student days, one day he asked his sister for a glass of water. Can you go get me a glass of water? When she went to her mum, brother wants a glass of water, mum got shocked. She said, how can he think about water when he's studying? He's supposed to study so much, his mind should not go towards anything else. She said, Ya Allah, I think ilm is leaving our family. So you know what she did? She gave the girl a glass of olive oil. So go and give him a glass of olive oil. So while he's studying, he got the glass of olive oil, he drank it, he gave it back, and he just carried on studying. He didn't even react. And then she went back and told mum, I gave him the olive oil. He just drank it and he carried on. He didn't even say, what did you give me? She said, Alhamdulillah, I think ilm is still remaining in our family. The people can focus and they don't care about food and drink and everything else. The great scholar Sheikh Abdul Wahab Sha'arani, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, I used to study so much that I used to like become so tired from studying. So I said to my ustad, Hafiz Zainuddin Zakariya Al-Ansari, rahmatullahi alayhi, great scholar of hadith. He's in, when we do our chain of narration, sanad of hadith, he's one of the, in the middle somewhere. His ustad was Sheikh Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, rahmatullahi alayhi. So his student, Zainuddin Zakariya Al-Ansari. So Sheikh Abdul Wahab Sha'arani says, I used to study so much, I used to become so tired. So I went to my ustad, I said, ustad, what do I do? I really want to, you know, I don't want to be distracted, but I'm studying so much, it's making me tired, and I have to take breaks. His ustad said, next time you feel tired, you know, your intention now is you're studying for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Next time you feel this tiredness, or anytime you feel this tiredness, change your intention to, Ya Allah, I am studying so that you give me shifa. I am studying so that you give me shifa, and you will see this tiredness will go away. So he said, from that day, alhamdulillah, I never felt tired from studying. I used to study all day, all night, and whenever I would feel tiredness, I would just make my intention, Ya Allah, I am learning this ilm so that you give me shifa. And I used to feel that tiredness go away straight away. I used to carry on. SubhanAllah. So this is why, you know, so this point, that one person's food, the amount that we eat as one person, is sufficient for two people. We can survive, we can live. This is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, you know, separating the stomach into three parts. One part for food, one part for water, one part for air. Others mention as well, the great point of this hadith is the barakah. That if a person, because when a person thinks, you know what, this food is only enough for me. It's only enough for me and my wife. It's only enough for me and my wife. But I don't know if I can share this food with others. So it's this stinginess, miserliness comes in. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving this ta'aleem and educating us that don't worry. Allah Ta'ala has put so much barakah in this food, four people's food, that eight people can eat it. Have your yaqeen, conviction in Allah Ta'ala that don't worry about how much food you have, share. The more you share, the more you will see that food has the capacity to be shared. It has the potential of being shared. So both these hadith are mentioning that point. And that's the reason why Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has brought it here. That don't feel, okay, my food is not going to be enough for me and my family. You know, as soon as a person has a family, this sort of stinginess comes in. Miserliness comes in. And the miserliness comes in because you think, I need to provide for these people first. If I'm helping this person, that person, feeding this person, that person, giving charity here, there, everywhere, what am I going to do about my family when they need this and that? Allah Ta'ala says, don't worry, Allah Ta'ala gave you money, Allah Ta'ala gave you food, but Allah Ta'ala put the capacity in that food for it to be enough for lots of people. How? Keep your tawakkul in Allah, keep your gaze upon Allah Ta'ala, and keep giving, and you will see, inshallah, it will be enough for everybody. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال بينما نحن في سفر مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ جاء رجل على راحلة له فجعل يصرف بصره يمينا وشمالا فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان معه فضل ظهر فليعد به على من لا ظهر له ومن كان له فضل من زاد فليعد به على من لا زاد له فذكر من أصناف المال ما ذكر حتى رأينا أنه لا حق لأحد منا في فضل رواه مسلم. سيدنا أبو سعيد خدري رضي الله تعالى عنه فرماتے ہیں کہ ایک دفعہ ہم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم کے ساتھ سفر میں تھے تو ایک شخص آیا جو اونٹنی پر سوار تھا تو وہ دائیں طرف بائیں طرف بس دیکھتا رہا, اونٹنی پر سوار تھا لیکن دائیں طرف اور بائیں طرف اس طرح بس دیکھتا رہا. سیدنا ابو سعید خدری رضی اللہ عنہ mentions a person came when we were traveling with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person came, he was riding on a camel, but he was looking, you know, left and right, just looking at everybody. So you know what we mentioned about muwasat, by looking at someone's state, understanding what they are going through and trying to help them. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized he's riding on a camel. Remember, you've got different animals. You've got mules, you've got donkeys, you've got horses, you've got camels. Camels are very expensive. So someone might think this person is riding a camel, that means he's very rich. That means he's got lots of money. But just by the way he was looking around, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized this person is in need. He needs something, but he's too shy to ask. Sometimes if some Allah ta'ala has blessed you with something zahiri tawr par, you think people think of me as wealthy. Now if I go and ask from people, it seems very, very embarrassing. One is everybody knows I'm faqir bichara. Walk around in my pot. Kuch de do for the sake of Allah. Everybody knows I'm poor. You know, it's there on my forehead, I'm poor. So there's no sharam in me asking, everybody knows I'm poor. And one is people think I'm rich, but the hidden state is that I'm not actually like that. Maybe I bought a house a long time ago, maybe I bought a car a long time ago, but now financially I'm not doing the way I used to do. It's Allah Ta'ala's qismat. One day Allah blesses a person with wealth, another day Allah Ta'ala puts a person through financial difficulty. It's just the life. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized from his face that he is in need. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? He said, "Man kana ma'ahu fadlu zahirin." And look at the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such hikmah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam just called all his sahaba. He said, "Everyone, whoever has fadlu zahirin, whoever has more than one animal, falyu'ud bihi 'ala man la dhahra lahu." Then they should find out who doesn't have an animal and they should give him that extra animal. Because maybe somebody doesn't have an animal to travel on, they're having to walk on their feet. So find out who doesn't have an extra animal and give them that animal. وَمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ فَضْلٌ مِّنْ زَادٍ. And whoever has extra provision, food, drink, etc., فَلْيَعُدْ بِهِ عَلَىٰ مَنْ لَا زَادَ لَهُ. Go and find out who doesn't have provision, food, water from amongst you, and go and give it to them. So without saying there's a person here, I can tell from his face that he's in need, now the person's going to feel embarrassed. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying your job is that you should look around you at your saathis ke bhai kisi ke paas khana nahi hai, pani nahi hai, you don't have anything. If you don't have it, I got some extra, take it. So your job is to make sure that everybody around you is looked after. So now that person, obviously the person who is next to him, if he had something extra, would say, "Oh, you don't have it, so okay, I'll give it to you." So look at the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. That we, first of all, you got something extra, don't you think I got extra, I'll use it some other day. Think these people around me, maybe someone doesn't have something essential. Why don't I give it to them? And also creating that, you know, hamdardi. That we look around, every single Muslim brother is my brother. Okay, we have to have this fikr. Zamana has become stingy now. I can say for myself. We're stingy. All, you know, our. And because financial this, that, what they call it, crisis and all of the rest of it. So we read all the news and it fills our mind with bakwas. Reality is that Allah Ta'ala is a raziq. Allah is a feeder, Allah Ta'ala is a sustainer, Allah is a nourisher. Allah Ta'ala is the one who looks after me and everybody else. So my job is anybody who I feel in any way, shape or form is struggling, I can help them, help them. You know, I can help them, help them. Give to them and Allah Ta'ala will give back. So many times it happens. Anybody who spends on others will say, "Subhanallah, I got my risk from places I didn't expect." Anybody who just holds on will say, "I'm always struggling." Allah's qismat. Allah gives money, Allah gives food, Allah gives clothes, Allah Ta'ala gives all of these things. Allah Ta'ala wants to see what you do with it. Now if you say, "It's mine, it's not yours. Allah nidiya. And if you spend it for the sake of Allah, Allah gets so happy, Allah gives even more. But isko dete raho. Kyunki isko dene se mera jo hai makhlooq kaate rahenge. Aur makhlooq khushhal mein rahenge. So this is the reason. So, and last one hadith inshallah, one or two hadith, we'll quickly finish so we can do the chapter. عن سهل بن سعد رضي الله تعالى عنه أن امرأة جاءت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ببردة منسوجة فقالت: نسجتها بيدي لأكسوكها. فأخذها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم محتاجا إليها فخرج إلينا وإنها لإزاره. فقال فلان: أكسنيها ما أحسنها. فقال: نعم. فجلس النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المجلس ثم رجع فطواها ثم أرسل بها إليه فقال له القوم: ما أحسنت. لبسها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم محتاجا إليها ثم سألته علمت أنه لا يرد سائلا. فقال: إني والله ما سألته لألبسها، إنما سألته لتكون كفني. قال سهل: فكانت كفنه. رواه البخاري. Sayyidina Sahl ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu narrates, a woman came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a shawl that she had knitted herself. And she said, Nasajtuha biyaday, Ya Rasulullah, I've knitted it with my own hands, liaksuaka, so I can make you wear it. So with so much love, she had made this gift. فَأَخَذَهَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مُحْتَاجًا إِلَيْهَا Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took that, and it seemed that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really needed it. Matlab, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have anything to keep him warm. So he took it and he needed it. فَخَرَجَ إِلَيْنَا And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out from his room. وَإِنَّهَا لَإِزَارُهُ And he was wearing it as his lower garment, that shawl. Matlab, he needed it, he was using it. He put it into use straight away. If not, someone gives me a hadiyah and I go and put it in my wardrobe. And gone and seeing my wardrobe because I've got 50 jubbas. So I don't know when I'm going to use this one. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam straight away put this into use. And he came and sat down. As soon as he sat down, فَقَالَ فُلَانَ A person said, أُكْسُنِيهَا مَا أَحْسَنَهَا Ya Rasulullah, that is such a beautiful shawl. Please give it to me. As soon as he sat down, a person said, Ya Rasulullah, مَا أَحْسَنَهَا كِتْنِي خُبْصُورَتْ چادر ہے Ya Rasulullah, مجھے دے دو. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say straight away? Na'am. Yes. Straight away he said, yes. And then, فَجَلَسَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فِي الْمَجْلِسِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained seated in the gathering for a short while, talking to his sahaba. ثُمَّ رَجَعَ فَطَوَاهَا Then he returned to his room. He folded up the shawl. He folded it up. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَ بِهَا إِلَيْهِ And then he told someone, go and give this shawl to this person who asked for it. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sakhawa, generosity. Soon as he asked for it. So the hadith, the sahabi is saying, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it and he was muhtaj of it. He needed it. He wasn't going to just put it away as a hadiyah that we do. People give me hadiyah, I don't need it. But you take it, you need to take it. I'm not going to use it. That's the abba thing. You remember? Somebody gave the abba. You want to take it? I don't know if I'm going to use it. Abhisab knows what I'm referring to. One is, I need it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is wearing it straight away. This person asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keep it. So people said to this person, مَا أَحْسَنْتَ You didn't do a good thing. لَبِسَهَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ مُحْتَاجًا إِلَيْهَا Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put this on and he was in need of it. Why would you ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this? ثُمَّ سَأَلْتَهُ وَعَلِمْتَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَرُدُّ سَائِلًا You asked Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you know Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never turns a person away. You know if you ask of him, he's going to give it to you. You know that. So why would you ask? فقال The person said, إِنِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا سَأَلْتُهُ لِأَلْبِسَهَا I swear by Allah, I didn't ask for this so I can wear it. I don't want to wear it. إِنَّمَا سَأَلْتُهُ لِتَكُونَ كَفَنِي I asked for it so that it becomes my coffin when I die. Look at this, the Sahaba. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's A chadar that he's wearing, if that becomes my kafan, my akhirat, what will happen? In my qabr, adab will be elevated. فَقَالَ سَهْلٌ سَيْدْنَا سَهْلٌ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ says, فَكَانَتْ كَفَنُهُ This actually became the kafan of this person. When he died, he was shrouded in this chadar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was buried, subhanallah. Anyway, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah is brought it to show this ithar. You have something, you need it, you still, it's easy to give away gifts we don't need. I have so many things here and there, people give, and I'm not going to use it. Someone asks for it, but I don't mind. Happily give it away, I don't even feel anything. And one is something I'm using on a daily basis. Somebody says, can you give me a phone? Or somebody says something else I'm using on a daily basis. How can I give you that? I need it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of that. Yes, straight away. And he continued, but he continued with his class and he didn't say, oh, you know what? Later the person had to go and ask him again, remember you said you were going to give this to me? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has it in his mind. I told him I'm going to give it. So he discussed whatever he had to discuss, went to the room, folded it up nicely, and got it sent to this person. Final hadith, inshallah, we'll finish with this. وَعَنَ أَبِي مُوسَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِنَّ الْأَشْعَرِيِّينَ إِذَا أَرْمَلُوا فِي الْغَزْوِ أَوْ قَلَّ طَعَامُ عِيَالِهِمْ بِالْمَدِينَةِ جَمَعُوا مَا كَانَ عِنْدَهُمْ فِي ثَوْبٍ وَاحِدٍ ثُمَّ اقْتَسَمُوهُ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي إِنَاءٍ وَاحِدٍ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ فَهُمْ مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْهُمْ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, The Ash'ariyin, the people from the Ash'ar tribe, Ash'ar Qabila, they were a tribe from Yemen. And subhanAllah, great Sahaba came from there, Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. And their tilawa, their voice, the Yemeni people, Allah Ta'ala gave them beauty in their voice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Musa Ash'ari when he was reading Quran, لَقَدْ أُوْتِيْتَ مِزْمَارًا مِنْ مَزَامِيرِ آلِ دَاوُدِ Oh Abu Musa, Allah Ta'ala has given you an instrument from the instruments of the family of Dawood alayhi salam. Your tilawa is so beautiful.
Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. And other narrations mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about the whole Ash'ari tribe, that all of them, their tilawah is just so beautiful. So this, another fadila, virtue of the Ash'ari people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, you know these Ash'ari people, these people from the Ash'ar tribe of Yemen, إِذَا أَرْمَلُوا فِي الْغَزْوِ, you know when they go in battle, and if they are, you know, some people don't have food, أَوْ قَلَّ طَعَامُ عَيَالِهِمْ بِالْمَدِينَةِ, and similarly, in Medina or in the city, if their family members have less food, some of their family members have less food, you know what they do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling his sahaba, do you know what they do? جَمَعُوا مَا كَانَ عِنْدَهُمْ فِي ثَوْبٍ وَاحِدٍ, they put all of their food together into one pot. So let's say there's 20 people in the Ash'ar tribe. A few people are going through hardship. They don't have enough food to eat. So what they will just make a decision automatically. Some people are struggling. So let's put all our food together. And then, ثُمَّ اقْتَسَمُوهُ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي إِنَاءٍ وَاحِدٍ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ, and then they distribute it amongst everybody and everybody gets the same amount. So they won't make that bichara person struggling feel bad and feel like they have to come and beg and ask from them. As soon as they realize somebody's struggling, automatically they put all their food together and then they give out to everyone. Basically that food becomes everybody's. Everybody gets food in equal amount, whether they're on the battlefield, whether they're at home. They look after everyone from amongst them. So what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say after saying this? He said, فَهُمْ مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْهُمْ, they are from me and I am from them. Meaning this quality, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved it so much that they're not just worried about themselves and their family members. As soon as they find out somebody else is struggling, that person becomes their family. And subhanAllah, look in Gaza, what's happening. This is what the people of Gaza are doing. This is what they had to do. So many family members struggling, so many people passing away, young children, mouths to feed. Put all their food together, so everybody's going to get the same amount. Practicing upon precisely this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about these people? Hum minni wa ana minhum, they are from me and I am from them. Again, this ithar. Okay, you know, I need it myself, but I see somebody else struggling, I will give to them, and I will myself go through some hardship. Allah Taala will give us all reward and such a great amal. Inshallah, we are ready to practice upon this hadith. Very difficult thing to ask. Allah Ta'ala give myself tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala make it easy to bring these qualities into our life. SubhanAllah, bihamdi, subhanakallah. Inshallah, this hadith. Lesson is a bit too long today, I do apologize. Longer than normal.